All right, good morning. We're here with Jamie Jason Hughes from around the world in Papua New Guinea. I think it's 10 o'clock there at night. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Well, why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about, for those who don't know, where you are and what you're doing there, and then we'll get more specific about what's going on currently.
Okay, so we are in Iambaitak, which is our village name, in the Lembena people group, and we are learning their language, learning their culture, getting ready to hopefully soon start teaching literacy and doing Bible translation and Bible teaching in their heart language. So that's what we are. That's our goal. That's what we're working at. We have our family, and then we have two other families here in the bush with us. And currently, we actually, tomorrow morning, we have some language consultants that are flying in to give us a language test. So can be praying about that we'll have clarity of mind and be able to remember the things that we've learned and be able to communicate clearly. So they kind of break the language learning into nine different levels. And currently, at our last evaluation, I was at level six, along with the rest of our team. We're all pretty close to the same. So, hopefully we can finish this up soon, the language learning.
That's I can't even imagine. Well, y'all, your team, you had some team members that had gone maybe back over to the States, but they've gotten back and y'all are all back together again at the bush there.
Yes, we are. The ones that came back are actually expecting a baby. And because of the medical facilities or lack thereof, they are headed to Australia to have their baby. So tomorrow, when the consultants come in, that family will be flying out to go have a baby. So they'll probably be out for, we're guessing, about 3 months, and then be back again. So but it's been good to have them back, and been able to catch up, and they've been able to pick right up with language and keep right on going. So been good.
Well, tell us a little bit about the people there and kind of their belief system and how you think that the gospel can be shared with them to where they'll understand it.
Well, we are, as we're getting a little further in language and getting to the point where we can talk about more abstract ideas, we're starting to learn a little more and get a little more insight into that, which is kind of exciting, but also a little scary. It's pretty complicated. The people are animistic traditionally, and then they've had a little exposure to some different types of Bible teaching, but and so kind of outwardly they try to do church, and they meet on Sundays. Usually it's just some older people. There's not very, probably 10 people maybe meet on Sunday mornings. And the teaching basically revolves around don't smoke, don't chew. They chew this nut called betel nut. Don't do those things, and like each other, love each other, and that's what you need to do. That's kind of the message they give. And the people have been exposed to that, and they kind of, up until now, whenever we try to figure out what they believe, they would just kind of give us the Jesus answers, you know? But now we're starting to hear a lot more stories, about, I guess, their belief in different spirits that come and haunt people after death, and spirits that if you don't take care of your parents, then they come back and haunt you. And we have a prophet he lives downriver, but he's actually here for the week. A guy that he's a self-proclaimed prophet, and he's always making demands that the people give him pigs and money, and he plants these big stones everywhere with promises and it's some pretty weird stuff. I've been talking about pig sacrifices and different things where they've been sacrificing chickens and pouring their blood to make gold come out of the river and all kinds of stuff. So I think the people are starting to open up as we're able to understand what they're saying a little better, and as we build those relationships to where they're not afraid to give us their real belief and not just the church answer that they've heard. I guess our goal would be, and when the consultants come and check us in our language, they also check on how we're understanding their culture. So we're writing up a culture paper and trying to investigate. I think we have 120 different points of culture that we're trying to get investigated and write a summary on and stuff. But our goal would be that by understanding those beliefs they have, then when we present the gospel, we'll start in Genesis, but we can even go in through creation, be able to, I guess, address a lot of those worldview ideas they have and give answers. I think a big thing they have here is if somebody gets sick, they'll say it's because the person sinned. Or if somebody dies, they'll say it's because the person sinned. And they'll have, like, they've even had stories where somebody shot a bullet at them and the bullet just turned and went the other way because they didn't have any sin. And that's kind of their concept. And so I think as we teach through knowing those things, so in Genesis, we can give them the biblical explanation for why death happens and why sickness comes, and we can give them some of those answers. Because I think in some contexts, and probably what happened here, is they were told at some point Jesus died on the cross, and so they went along with that, but then they had no explanation for why people get sick, or they had no explanation for why their gardens grow good or don't grow good, or they had no explanation for those things, and so they just revert back to their traditional beliefs. So I guess in a nutshell, maybe a long explanation, but that's kind of how we're going about it, and hoping to be able to teach in a way they'll understand well.
How do they, I think I remember you guys saying that they want you there because they feel like it's a good thing to have the missionaries there. But in general, getting to know the people on a personal level, are they pretty open to that and to you guys being there?
Yeah, they are. I feel like we've built a lot of relationships. The people love for us to come visit them. A lot of times we'll go on a hike. It's a family out to, they call it their pig house, but most of the people have like a house in the village and then a house outside the village where they garden and keep pigs. So we'll go as a family out, and it seems like they always enjoy having us. And it's just always hard to think about conversation to have with them when our cultures are so different, and then the language barrier. But we're starting to break through that and starting to be able to converse more, which has been encouraging and nice. I think, I think for the ladies on our team, they've been working on language as they're able. but have been super busy with homeschooling and trying to keep up with the rest of life. But I mean, Tammy goes and sits with the ladies often, and they'll make bilums and chat and in the trade language, and she enjoys that, and the ladies enjoy having her. So it's
Update us on your children and how they're doing.
Yeah, they're doing good. Kinley is, how old is she now? She must be 11. Yeah, Kinley's 11, and then Case is 9, and Beau is 7. So we have a 5th grader, 3rd grader, and a 1st grader. So they keep us busy, and Kinley loves Limbina. I feel like she cooks like the people, she eats like the people, and is very much Limbina true. And Case and Beau, they both love playing like marbles with the kids, soccer, playing in the mud, making fires. Yeah, this is their life. And we do have coworkers with kids, which is a huge blessing. And they have kids their age as well. So, but yeah, I feel like they're all thriving and seem to be doing well overall. So that's been encouraging.
The children, the village children there, that how did they, our kids don't really, they just like to play. So I'm sure they have found friends and things to do, even though they probably don't speak the same language yet.
Yeah, I feel like especially the boys. It seems like their ages, the Limbina kids just play with them and they speak in the trade language. Like our kids know the trade language enough to speak to them and they know it enough to speak to our kids. So that's been huge. Kinley, I feel like she more plays with almost like old, I don't know, would you say like the old, either like older people? I mean, not like plays, but she'll cook with the older ladies. Or play like sports and stuff with the younger kids because girls her age are starting to get old enough. And yeah, I just don't feel like it's as common. They have started playing volleyball together with them some and things like that. But I feel like the older she gets, the harder it is for her to relate much with the Limbina girls, it seems like.
Yeah, no, that can be hard for them. But are there any missionary children that are her age?
Yeah, she has 2 girls that are her age. One's a year older and one's a year younger. So she basically has built-in sisters with our coworkers. So that's been a huge blessing.
Well, tell us what do you, I mean, you said she cooks and, with, what they eat. What is it that they cook and eat that, is helpful?
What she ends up cooking a lot of is sweet potatoes. And then they have, I think in English, I think it's called cassava. They call it bundi here, but it's a long root that grows in the ground, and cook that. And then the big thing they do is we just call them greens, but like
Like spinach.
kind of like spinach, or like, actually what it is a lot of times is the smaller leaves on a pumpkin vine. They pick those off, and then they steam them, cook them. If they have coconut, they'll scrape a coconut and then flavor it with coconut milk. And she loves cooking that stuff over the fire. The people, yeah, peanuts right now, there's a lot of peanuts that they grow, and so cooking those or cutting them up and cooking them with ginger or beans, lots of different types of green beans, lots of, I don't know if you call them plantains, like cooking bananas. There's like probably 20 different types of cooking bananas they have. So, yeah, she loves doing that. And there's some older ladies that are kind of in charge of watching out for our family, and so they come over and she cooks with them quite a bit.
Do they eat the pig? chickens that they raise?
The chickens? Yes. Not a lot of people have chickens. They do eat them. They have the pigs is the big thing. And they eat those for special occasions. They use them for paying bride prices for buying a wife. They use them for settling disputes or fights, and so they're probably one of the main their big cultural thing is your pigs. And if a lady is accused of not taking care of her pigs well, that's a big offense. So they that's a big part of their life.
Do they have any trade or vocation that they use to make money?
They have gold in the river that's pretty close to us, and so they go pan for gold when the water is right. When it's flooding, then it brings up some of the gold, and then when it's dry enough, they can go pan for it. And so they do that. They're mostly getting gold dust. It's not like they're getting lots of money from it, but it is a source of income for them. Other than that, there's not really much they can do. They grow tons of food, and they have like they've planted at one point they planted coffee as in hopes of selling it, and vanilla they planted hoping to sell it, but they don't have a way of processing it, and then because they're in the bush, paying for the airplane to fly it out of the bush is just too expensive to make it profitable. So they don't have any other source of income really. They have a market every Wednesday, but it's pretty much just the people in the village. I mean, they use money, but they sell peanuts, and then they use the money to buy some sweet potatoes, and then it's just kind of the money circulates a little, but
Right.
yeah.
Other questions around the table anybody have?
How long has the work been going on there? I know you guys are relatively new, but have been others there, how long?
We have been here,
2020.
we moved in 2020. July 2020, with our team of three families, and we each have taken a home assignment. We were back 9 months, and some of our other partners were different, but we've been here in the village for 2.5 years or so, actually living in the village. So New Tribes hasn't done any work in here before. There was a Wycliffe missionary in here many, many years ago. And he did a little bit of translation, but we only have one final copy of, I think, the Book of Mark that he completed. And he had some. We don't know the full story, but he wasn't able to finish his work, and had to leave for one reason or another. So we've been able to benefit from some of his papers that about the language that he had written up, but yeah, there hasn't been any other missionaries in here, besides us, so.
How many people are in this Lumbino group? Is that the correct pronunciation?
We think there's about 4,000 in the Lembena language group. Our village is probably 400. So our goal would be to start with our first teaching here, but then eventually to be able to reach out to all the surrounding villages. They're pretty spread out. I think the furthest village downriver is about an 8-hour hike away. And then the furthest village up the mountains is about 5,000 feet above us, and it would take probably 2 days to hike there. So they're pretty spread out, but we interact with a lot of the villages. They come here for market or for medicine or for hearing court or stuff. They come to our village, so we get to see people from a lot of different places. But
yeah. Do they have a written language?
We are in the process of that.
Okay. So you're doing one of that. Our,
what's that?
Yes,
it's yeah, no, not they don't have a written language. That SIL or Wycliffe missionary had done a little bit of work with coming up with alphabet for them, and one of our teammates is in the process of going through that and deciding how we're gonna write their alphabet and do teach literacy to them. So we're in the process of working on that right now.
So it's all verbal communication.
Yeah. Yep.
And hand signals.
Yeah. Yep.
That's very, very basic evangelism. Mission work. So.
How many languages? How many languages do the people speak? You said trade language, then there's their own native language. Is there a third or fourth?
Yes, a lot of the people speak, it's called Engen, which is a bordering, actually one of the bigger languages in Papua New Guinea. And then it's mainly those three. Some of them speak a fourth language. Of another neighboring tribe, but yeah, basically those four, they intermarry with people from the other places. And so they've adapted several languages.
We were hearing about a fuel crisis or limitations on fuel, at least. Is that affecting y'all? But,
it was about to, so they were, the mission has a certain amount of fuel drums on reserve, but the fuel supplier in the country quit supplying fuel. And so they basically said, we need to save enough drums to get all our missionaries out of the bush. And so we can only use a certain amount. But that has opened back up again. The government had a court, and they forced the fuel company to start supplying fuel, for another year. So I think they're already a ways into the year, but, at least for another probably 9 months, they're supposed to supply fuel. So it's, as of right now, everything's back to normal. It's been a reoccurring problem. It's kind of started because the government is trying to prop up the value of their currency. And so because of that, the fuel companies don't want PNG currency. And so the banks have a hard time getting US currency to buy the fuel. And so it's not really the fuel company's fault. It's kind of the government's in a bad situation. So there's not really, we'll see what happens in the next year. But as of right now, everything is back to running normally. So.
Good.
I don't know whether you timed this for the day, but I got your newsletter this morning. And
okay.
I didn't know whether you sent it to our group this morning, but it was good timing. So I was very encouraged by the verses that y'all left there that, you know, really for our encouragement and to help us, and it applies to us here, but you're in a much difficult place over there. So the same problems are everywhere, but the Lord is our same encouragement everywhere. But I'm just so encouraged by three families over there. I was counting up from your new picture. You've got 6 adults and 10 children and 1 on the way. Is that
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at all your names, but I can look at the picture. So, but it's such a blessing that I think, Jason, you were with a missionary family, so you have served over there before, and then the Lord led you back. But to me, it's so encouraging to see all the children over there being brought up, you know, with a heart to reach out to the lost people, and maybe someday they will continue in your work to make a difference. So I'm always amazed at Papua New Guinea, how far, maybe this is wrong, backwards they are. I mean, they are in the bush. They're coming out of the bush. Don't even have a, and, you know, we can't comprehend that. Don't even have a written language. So I just want to thank y'all and the rest of the team for being there to share Christ's love with these people. So very encouraging.
We appreciate it. Thank you. And we couldn't be here without you guys behind us praying and supporting us to be here. We really appreciate that. And we appreciate the work that you guys are doing back in the States too. I know, hear the news, what's going on back home, and it sounds like it's a mess back there too. So
we might all want to move someday to Papua New Guinea.
Oh,
interesting year for sure. Well, we got your prayer request that you'd sent for today. Is there anything you'd like us to add to that before we move to a time of prayer?
No, I think
the evals maybe just got moved up a day, maybe from what maybe I sent. I think it was supposed to be on Friday. Now it got moved to Wednesday, but God knows that, so.
Yeah, a couple evaluations ago, my language helper, well, actually it's happened more than once, but just decided not to show up, so ended up using some other guys and it went okay, but pray that the right guys, I think that was in our prayer request, but pray that they'll show up and be I think they get a little nervous about the evaluation as well, thinking that they're being tested. Try to explain that to them, but they still have it in their head. So
you mentioned that you tested at level 6. What is the goal?
So at level 9, they would say that we're capable to start doing literacy, and then they don't test us again, but they assume that while we're doing literacy, we'll keep progressing to be able to start teaching. So, they have it. They have it broken up into 9 levels, and I guess different levels, you know, you're working on the basics, and then you get into more difficult language, I guess, and more abstract concepts and that. So,
how hard it is to come up with words for something that they don't probably have words for, you know, some abstract biblical teaching that there's just not a word in their language to represent.
So
that would be tough.
Yep.
Well, we can move to a time of prayer. Bubba, if you'd open and Tom will close us, and anybody who'd like to pray, feel free to do so.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to share with Tammy and Jason, and Lord, we are so encouraged by the work that they are doing there and the point they are. It's a very slow process, I know, because you're really starting with the beginning. I cannot understand that. Having the language and word of being able to talk to your friends. But They are there, and they are very faithful, and they are doing this. So I pray for the, I guess, upcoming visit with the language helpers that as they, the team there, talk to them about what they have done and where they are and what they need to do, that they would be encouraged by the progress they have made, and then what did you would give them a goal and vision for what they do next as they reach this group of people, which to us would be a small group, but in your kingdom, every life counts. So we just thank you for having them there. And Lord, I do thank you for all the children that I see there. That Lord, you brought these young couples there with young children, and they're giving their lives to see the gospel get out to people that don't have it. So I pray that you'll watch over the children, particularly this new one that's being born in Australia, that they can return safely and continue the work there, and the children can grow as they are educated, as they learn probably a lot of different languages, and just the learning process that you would give them good minds to learn what they need to learn as they go forward. And again, I just thank you that these young children are there, that they see the work of their parents and the work of the team. And Lord, I think about other people that we have here in our church, and the children have gone out with the parents, and later on those children involved in ministry. So we thank you for that model you said there. So I lift up Ethnos 360, I think it was New Tribes, or I'm not real sure, but I just thank you for their heart to reach these people that otherwise would not hear the gospel. So particularly in Papua New Guinea, where this work has been going on for years. So I do thank you for this family being there. And as we mentioned, Lord, we have work right here where we are. Lord, we have challenges all around us right here where we live, in the comfort of all the pleasures that we have had for so long. So give us a vision, give us a wisdom to make a difference where we are here. So again, Lord, I just thank you for this time, and what a blessing it is to see your servant serving around the world. So encourage us here at Trinity to do more of that, and to lift up our team that's out in the field. So we praise you and thank you for this in Christ's name.
Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be here this morning and talk to Tammy and Jason, and the technology that you provided for us to do so, all the way around the other side of the world, Lord. And we just ask that you continue to bless their ministry and keep them safe and protected, Lord, out in the bush. We thank you for the other families that are there with them, and just ask that you will open the minds and the hearts of the people who live there, that they can understand the gospel and the good news of Jesus, Lord. We pray that you continue to be with their children as they are raised there, Lord, and are homeschooled and learning not only what they need to learn in school, but also the language there and the culture, and how to even talk to their own friends about Jesus. And we just ask that you continue to be with them and bless them and encourage them. In Christ's name.
Yeah, Lord, I want to thank you that you care for the Lumbana people, and that you have raised up not only us to be a part of this work, but also people all over the world, in this church in Montgomery, Lord. I just thank you that you've put the Lumbana people on the hearts of so many people, and I just pray that you would enable us to be able to complete this work, and I pray that your word would be able to one day change these people's lives, and one day that we'd be able to rejoice in heaven with them, Lord. Just thank you for how you provide for us every day, and how you give us strength every day, and we depend on you to continue to do that as we go forward. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Father, may your Holy Spirit be strong with them, guide them, and bring them ever closer to you, that they may be a shining light to these people. Father, they are your children. We are all your children. Help us all to grow and to know you and to have that strong relationship with you, that we can be effective as examples of your love. We thank you and praise you for the gift of grace, and we pray for a special blessing on these missionaries to do the work that you have given them.
Gracious Father, I agree with these prayers. We are grateful for this time together with Jason and Tammy, and pray that you would continue to bless them. We thank you for their faithfulness in serving you, their sense of call to respond to the Great Commission. Just even as they're there and seeing this isolated group of people who are made in your image, who are people that to whom the Great Commission would send the gospel. And so we thank you for them and their teammates, and that they would continue to do the work laid out for them through the challenges that represents. I know we're only getting a glimpse into those challenges, and that we do pray for them. We pray for good unity for their team, and that as they worship and fellowship together as believers, that they would be an example even for the rest of the village, to realize that there's much more to this gospel than the villagers have, or at least for many of them, have been able to understand. And we do pray against the occult practices and the animistic religious practices that would be there, and pray that your spirit would be strong among the missionary team and work in the hearts of the villagers, and that the forces of evil and darkness would be restrained so that the gospel can work. That your spirit would work in the lives of these villagers, that they would truly come to faith. We pray for continued language learning, and even for this exam that will be given tomorrow, and that Jason and those who will be examined will do well in this, and that their language learning would continue, and that they would have confidence in the words that they are learning, and you give them the ability to use those words and be able to communicate even more with the villagers. We pray for the work of translation as it's, I guess, gradually continuing or resuming from the work that was done long ago by this Wycliffe man, and that you would use this to bring the living word of God in written form for these people to be able to read and understand, and that you would use this in their lives. We do pray for the children and for them as they grow, that they would learn to see you as the creator of God and all things around them, that they would learn to worship you as such and honor you with their lives, that their faith too would be in the work of Jesus on their behalf, and that these children, the missionary families would never be able to say there was a day they didn't know of you, that they would grow to love you and want to serve you in the ways that you will have gifted them, whether they would choose to be there in the long term or in whatever way, but you would work in their lives as well as they see the gospel being proclaimed there. Lord, we're so grateful for that gospel message and how it works in our hearts in such a way that each of us needs this. And the people around us here in Montgomery need this gospel message just as much as the villagers there. And the brokenness is here as well. And so, Lord, help all of us to be faithful stewards of that gospel message. Help us to serve you. Help us to serve and glorify you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.